as we head out to Erin Hills and the Golf Channel's own Rex Hoggard. Rex, welcome into the golf shop.
Quite a few guys in the par here at Erin Hills as well, which is a little bit more surprising.
Yeah, I was going to ask you right out of the box here about the golf course there. It's interesting. As a fan watching on TV, I've been watching a lot for 2 days, and I'm sitting there. Number one, I have a hard time when they show a picture of a guy playing, I have a hard time figuring out which hole it is because a lot of them seem to look the same. But at the same time, I'm going, as a fan, if I'm going out there on Sunday afternoon, where am I going? Because I'm not so sure I see a real risk-reward pivotal hole in this golf course. Where are you going?
You know what? That's a great question. I walked the back nine yesterday just to kind of get a look at it. I walked the front nine earlier in the week. And there's some holes that I would probably go out just because I think they're going to be pivotal holes. And I'd immediately say number nine, I think, is a very cool hole. It's going to be, what, 135 yards probably today. You don't think that's much, but there's very good viewing, and it's such a cool little hole. And you know, guys could make a five or you could make a two. And I love that sort of spread when it comes down to it. And 18, I mean, it's a par at five. And I think more than likely the way they're going to set it up tomorrow is put some moving. They'll give them the opportunity to make a birdie, eagle maybe, so you could have some big two, three-stroke swings. I think that would be exciting as well.
Well, when you look at the way this thing is playing out, I mean, this is a course that's only 11 years old. It's not one of those venerable courses that's being adjusted. I mean, this one was basically built with hosting an event like this in mind. And there are some holes where, man, it looks like these long hitters, right in their range are opportunities to have the ball roll out 50, 60, 80 yards. Is there anything surprising about the way this course, being as young as it is playing in this major for you?
Well, first thing, I am a little surprised, to be quite frank. I think most players like the golf course. And I think anytime you're going to do something new, and we saw this 2 years ago at Chambers Bay, and there's going to be some pushback. Players are going to find something wrong with it. And in this particular case, and I think everyone kind of walked in here thinking, well, 7,800 yards, 8,000 yards, which you can play to, that's ridiculously long. I mean, the USGA has lost their mind. And as we now see from the scoring, it doesn't play anywhere near that long. As you pointed out, there's a lot of power corridors that if guys can hit it down the right slot, you can end up with 350, 360, 370-yard drives. And two things I will point out to that. The four guys that are tied for the lead, I'm going to mess this up, but it's something close to this. They rank 17th in the field, 56th in the field, 64th in the field, and 120th in the field in driving distance. All right, and that's all the way from obviously Brooks Koepka, a bomber, to Brian Harman, who is definitely not a bomber. He's 120 in the field in driving distance. I think it's identifying the guys who are playing best. It's not identifying a specific type of player.
Well, and it's funny you say that because Mike Davis has said in several interviews this week, and I think it's funny everybody wants to ask the question, when you sit in the bunker and you're deciding, you know, what's going to happen, does the USGA really have a score in mind? Is really the goal for the course set up to be to have the course play at par? And he says they've never discussed score against par. Never, never, never. That what they're trying to do is set up a course that is going to test every facet of a player's game, which may mean that some guys who play well on the PGA Tour courses that are set up to showcase their skills aren't going to do as well. I guess I'm a conspiracy theorist. Do you agree or to believe that claim that they never talk about the score against par?
He sure does lean into it. And, you know, again, he was asked earlier this week, and he will lean into the idea that par is never even brought up. And perhaps that's right. I mean, I don't know that you could sit here and argue with that. I will say this. After 2 days of very, very low scoring, and every player that I spoke with the last 2 days would agree with it as well, don't expect that on the weekend. The next 2 days will be very, very difficult, and it's by design. I mean, they know what's coming. They know that there's not going to be a 7-under out there the next 2 days, and it's because the USGA will start dialing back this golf course. Now, it's going to be difficult for them, because we had overnight rain. It's what's amazing to me these last 2 days is I don't care what number you put on the yardage of a golf course. These guys are so good now that if you have little wind, which we essentially have for 2 days, and you have conditions that will at least accept a shot because it's a little moisture. We've had some rain over the last few days. We had some rain last night. To put those two things together, I don't care what number you put on a hole, and these players are good enough, they're going to end up scoring.
You know, Rex, I wasn't all that high on Rory McIlroy coming in. I know some other people might have been. I just felt like when he said that he hasn't been able to practice that much, to me that was a huge red flag. But when you look at it, I mean, 12 previous major winners miss the cut. I mean, Rose, Scott, Stenson, Schwartzel, Watson, Johnson, McElroy, McDowell, Walker, Duffner, Day, and Willett. Was that surprising to you that on this type of golf course that isn't maybe a traditional U.S. Open golf course but has that major feel to it, were you surprised that so many major winners missed the cut? And, I mean, in all honesty, right now you've got to say that a previous major winner really doesn't have a chance because you're down to Martin Keimer and Sergio Garcia at -3 before you hit one.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much guaranteed of having the seventh consecutive first-time major winner this week. I think you're right on that front. Yeah, I was shocked. I mean, the idea that this is the first time ever in a major championship that the world's numbers 1, 2, 3, those top three ranked players, they've missed the cut at a major. I mean, that's amazing to me when you think about the history and how many events have been played. And it is very surprising. You couldn't have seen it coming. I'm not going to sit here and say that. But if you looked at the people you would potentially pick on Wednesday night, if you were looking at the players you would think would compete on this golf course, and we're talking about the Rorys and the Dustin Johnsons, each and every one of them was dealing with something to a certain degree, whether if it was Rory McIlroy with his injury that had kept him out since the Players. He's healthy, but still, he hadn't gotten the reps. Dustin Johnson, another injury that kept him out of the Masters. It kept him from not preparing for this event like he probably normally would. Jordan Spieth is another example. Struggled with his putting over the last few weeks. Jason Day has been slowed this year, understandably so, because he's dealing with his mom who was diagnosed with cancer. All of these guys are dealing with something off the golf course that has kept them from maybe focusing and preparing. And I think the margin at a U.S. Open at a golf course like this is so thin that that's really all it took, and that all of them were only a little bit off, and they're all home for the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, of the group, and again, it's, you know, Jimmy Walker and Adam Scott, Bubba Watson, Henrik Stenson, Justin Rose, Rory McIlroy, the top three players in the world, Day, DJ. Who surprised you most, maybe, that didn't have what it took to stick around?
Well, since I picked John Rahm and he missed the cut by a mile, I'm going to go ahead and go with him. I really thought, when you looked at the way he played, when you looked at the way he stepped up in the biggest events. I know that this was his first U.S. Open as a professional, but I really thought that this was a golf course that was going to set up well for him. It was a moment he was going to embrace. He was fearless, and that's what this golf course was going to require out of you. And, again, he missed the cut by a mile, and he kind of showed an emotional side that I don't think many people had seen this week, and he had a bit of a meltdown out there. That's the one that probably surprised me the most because he had all the elements you thought would be successful at a golf course like Erin Hills.
Again, Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel joining us from Erin Hills. And Rex, you know, we saw Ricky Fowler come out, shoot a great round on Thursday. I really don't remember hitting a squirrely shot. Yesterday he hit a few squirrely shots, but I almost thought he played too conservative yesterday. What do you feel like is going to have to happen for these guys? I mean, we do have a little bit of a compressed leaderboard. You know, what has to happen to kind of separate, or do you think anybody can get separation? I mean, we've seen a 65 on Thursday, a 65 by Hideki Matsuyama yesterday. You know, if we see another 65 today, does it come from somebody near the top of the leaderboard, or does it come from somebody far down the leaderboard, or are these guys that are in contention maybe getting a little too conservative?
Well, that was the theme of my column last night. You have 14 players within three strokes of the lead, and by comparison, the last four U.S. Opens, you haven't had more than 10 players within three strokes of the lead after 36 holes. What you're going to end up happening, and this comes from talking with players, is the golf course is going to have to start showing some teeth. It's going to have to start separating some people that way. You're not going to be able to have people go out and shoot 65. Maybe that does happen, but we're going to end up with more 73, 74, 75. And that's where you're going to get your separation. Because right now, I mean, we basically played two rounds and we really haven't accomplished anything because you look how condensed that leaderboard is. It's impossible to pick someone out of that group that you would think, oh, you know, he's clearly the front runner. I think everyone has the potential to do it. But then again, everyone also has the potential to do what Paul Casey did yesterday on the 14th hole when he made a snowman 8.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned Matsuyama. I mean, that 30 on the front was amazing, and Casey's recovery from that snowman was pretty impressive. But right now, the guy who's sort of he's got my attention is the Texas A&M amateur Cameron Champ. I mean, he's got the right name for it at -5 and seriously long. Yes, he's taken care of the, you know, he's taken a bit of advantage of those slopes and been able to put it out there. But to have him leading the tournament, leading the current field in driving distance, and he's just silky smooth. Is there even a chance for a kid like this, or are we going to see him, you know, fold up like a, you know, cocktail napkin origami over the weekend?
I wouldn't expect him to fold up. I mean, I was in on the scrum yesterday and listened to him talk, and that power is amazing, and it's because it's effortless. I mean, it doesn't look like he's trying to murder the ball. It just kind of comes naturally, which is very impressive. And I don't – he could certainly come out today and shoot a decent round and find himself in contention tomorrow. And I really think that in a situation like this, you need to fall back on all the things that got you there. And I don't know how much institutional knowledge he has, that when the time comes, he'll be able to relax. He'll be able to understand what his emotions are. He'll be able to understand how to control his emotions are. Very talented player, but I would really be shocked if we're having the same conversation on Monday morning.
All right, Rex. So here we go. We already talked about the fact that, you know, Garcia and Keimer are the only major winners really in contention at this point. A lot of guys up there that don't have a lot of experience winning multiple golf tournaments, let alone winning major tournaments. What do you really see happening today? We all know that, you know, in majors, after the 36 holes, we separate, you know, we cut half the field out. This morning, the first nine holes is always going to be pivotal this afternoon when these guys go out there, and whoever can really kind of survive those first nine holes, knowing that they're up the top of the leaderboard of a major championship, those are the guys that we look forward to on Sunday. Is there anybody that you really see maybe not being able to handle this pressure on the leaderboard? And can Martin Keimer and Sergio Garcia make their way up there this afternoon and get back into the contention at the top of the board?
Oh, sure. I don't think I would point to any one player and say they're out of contention. I mean, if you made the cut, essentially, with the spread, the way the field looks right now, I mean, I know that seems crazy, but you could certainly see a guy coming from earlier this morning and coming back, and you would consider Sergio Garcia, the way he's played, and finally getting the monkey off his back and getting that major would be an easy guy to pick. Oh, yeah, he's going to work his way in contention. But again, the only way we're going to get that separation, I really expect the golf course to play a little bit harder today. I expect guy par to become a little bit more important. And you saw a little bit of the fire back in the greens late yesterday afternoon. And if somehow they can get that and tuck some pins and get some guys to start playing for pars instead of being aggressive and playing for birdies and eagles, that's the only thing that's going to separate them right now.
All right, well, we're talking U.S. Open with our good friend Rex Hoggart from the Golf Channel. And I got to ask then, who are you looking at? I mean, who do you got? I mean, and maybe a score that you'd think we're going to get to when we hoist that trophy on Sunday. I mean, it's wide open, but who are you leaning toward now that your boy John Rahm had a trunk slammer?
I tend to agree with I think Brett Snedeker said it best, that 7-under is not going to win that. And by that, he means that it's going to come back. It'll probably be closer to 3 or 4-under, would be my guess right now, simply because the weekend's going to be much more difficult. And I'm going to go with chalk right now, because you look at the two guys at the top of the leaderboard, really interest me, and really you feel compelled. I mean, Brooks Koepka has everything you would need to win on a golf course like this. He's a long hitter. He has confidence. He's an athlete. And I just really think eventually he's going to win one, and there's no reason I can sit here and come up with a reason why this wouldn't be the one. I mean, he's essentially Dustin Johnson without the resume at this point, to be quite frank. And the other guy would be Paul Casey. I just think it was interesting. I asked him yesterday after that eight, after taking an eight on the 14th hole, and he came back and birdied five of his next six holes. He birdied five straight. And I asked him, would he have been able to recover like that 5 years ago, 10 years ago? And he was very honest. And he said, no, he probably wouldn't have. That, you know, and that snowman would have sent him spiraling, and he would have ended up missing the cut. But I think now he's a much better player as far as thinking his way around the golf course. And he's much more mentally strong than he used to be. So I think those are the two guys that stand out to me.
All right, real quick, Rex. Is this a golf course that's going to be able to be put into the U.S. Open rotation going forward?
Yes, I think it is. Now, I'm not saying it will be, because I think there's a lot of other opportunities out there. But, again, I think coming into it, seeing the infrastructure, coming into it, seeing the quality of the golf course, I don't see why it wouldn't at this point. I mean, everything they've done so far this week has been very impressive.
All right. Well, Rex, man, as always, we appreciate you coming on with us. Have a great rest of the weekend out there, and happy Father's Day.
Oh, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.